Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Access Astrology. My name is Ann Ortley. I'm an astrologer here. Right now I'm in Florida, but I basically live in New York. I kind of travel between the two. And this is the show where three astrologers get together to join and share our knowledge, our wisdom, take calls from our listeners, and talk about what's going on. And today is March 21, 2022. We won't have Heather joining us tonight because she is doing a solstice ritual, or not a solstice ritual, an equinox ritual. But I do expect Mark to be here shortly. And when he shows up on the switchboard, I'll let him in. But welcome, welcome. What we're looking at this week, a lot of energy. Mars squares Uranus, which is a very strong action, action, action energy where people are really going to feel like they need to do something, they need to take action. They can't take it a minute longer. It's just been up, 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 up. So kind of watch for this intense, passionate stuff to kick up as we're really working with this energy of transformation and change. So the energy is potent and powerful. We also have the solar ingress, meaning the sun entered Aries, crossed the equator in the tropical zodiac as he comes across the face of the earth, and he rises above, he scrolls up into the northern hemisphere, heading towards the Tropic of Capricorn at 23, 27 degrees above the equator. That's also the degree of the solstice, where the sun, solstice, stops. So we know that some stations, and then he moves back towards the Tropic of Capricorn on the bottom end of the Earth, down, not on the bottom, but below the equator. You know, disrespect our Australian friends and our Southern Hemisphere friends. So there's a lot of energy with the shifting and the changing. So there's a real forward motion movement energy when the sun goes into Aries. We just feel it. We feel it on a much deeper level than we had before. And I realized I have my music playing, so I just decided I should probably turn that off. It becomes part of my background sound, and I don't really even think about it. And here comes Remo to say hi. So our energy is when the sun goes towards the equator, it goes from the equator towards the solstice. Every day, the day gets longer by a minute, until it's at maximum length. And then when we hit the solstice and head south, the days get shorter by a minute, until we get to the equator. And then at that point, the equinox, day and night, are equal. Below the equator, the evening energy is a little bit stronger than the day energy. Of course, for the southern folks, it's the reverse. They have different seasons than us. So we are heading into our spring. They are heading into their fall. And astrology, remember, has cultural biases, cultural backgrounds, cultural orientation, because it's always based in the culture. And so when we look at astrology in the Western tradition, which is the kind Mark and I and Heather pretty much practice, it is really much tied to the growing seasons and an appreciation for as the sun moves above the equator, we really start to feel the stirring of the energy in Earth, asking us to move forward, asking us to kind of kick up and go in a new direction. So I think there's Mark. He just looks like he popped in. Whoops. I'm going to turn you on.
Hello,
Mark.
Ann.
You there?
Hi, yes,
Hi,
I'm
how
here.
Are you?
Sorry, a couple minutes late.
No worries, no worries. And where
okay.
are you today?
I'm in New York City. And you, Florida?
What? I'm in Florida, where it is outside. It's 72 degrees and clear. I was out looking at the sunset earlier and the planets setting and feeling very, very Floridian.
Very spring. Very spring, right?
Spring. What's your temperature up there? Is it getting warmer?
Yeah, it was pleasant enough. It's in the upper 50s.
Okay, that's not too bad. Not that freezing stuff.
Even into the 60s.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So I was telling everybody about the ingress. What do you say about the ingress? What do you, when you talk to people about it, how do you describe it?
Well, actually, I'm very optimistic about this ingress,
mm-hmm.
because it has in it a lot of stuff to do with power and how we use it. And mm-hmm. it can go either way. And it also mm-hmm. has to do with sort of spiritual commitments like Neptune, right, conjunct the sun. And it's something we can go either way with also. It can be used deceptively or it can be used mm-hmm. ideally. And so I'm optimistic that we'll see both ways, you know. We'll see power misused, but we'll also mm-hmm. see a new empowerment. And with Mercury in Pisces and conjuncting Jupiter,
mm-hmm.
I think a lot of what's the better choice is going to come out. But it's mm-hmm. not going to be easy.
Right.
There's a lot of adversarial energy. And that's set up for the next 3 months. So.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and some people count the Aries ingress as the year, too.
Right.
But yeah, that Mars, the Mars square Uranus, and then square, it's past the square to Venus. Venus squared it already, but they're kind of both straddling the square. So Mars rolls in and whacks Uranus, and he tips over and he lands in Venus's arms. So hopefully we can work well with that. We can work well with that energy and kind of come up with another way of working with it. With it, you know, in a positive way, knowing that there is some aggressive energy there, but there also is a lot of opportunity to look at things and kind of get a different perspective on them. So.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm taking the optimistic look.
You know, I'm cautiously optimistic. I get a little, that much Neptune just makes me nervous. People get really paranoid and really anxious and really emotional.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of water. It can feel very ungrounding too, I find. So.
Yeah, well, with Jupiter mixing it up.
Yeah.
Because
mm-hmm.
it's interesting that Jupiter and Neptune are both in Pisces.
Yeah.
They're conjuncting in Pisces, and they both rule it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very strong theme.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Mercury is hanging in there with them as well, so he's sort of crashing the party.
Right. And he's going, let's play some music, let's sing, let's dance, let's do some watery energy. Let's do some emotional stuff.
Yeah.
But he also, I've had a lot of clients reporting they've had lots of, hi Remo, they've had lots and lots of dreams, or very vivid dreams, kind of like their dreams are kind of off the charts. In terms of, you know, color and vibrancy and connection and stuff like that, you know. So, yeah. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
You know, you've been having dreams. Yeah, so.
Remember, my Mercury is in Pisces natally.
Right. You're a happy
Most
time,
people
right?
don't
That's
admit it.
But you swim, you do yoga, you meditate. You're definitely cooling water. All Pisces, but definitely cooling energy and intense situations. I always am like, my Mercury Mars gets going, and I always look at you and go, Mark, what are we doing? And you're like, we've got this.
Yeah.
So, which is good. You know,
yeah,
that's
so
what
that
makes
energy
the world
is
go
in
round.
The finger.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it is. And it's pretty potent. So, and of course, the rising sign, at least in the chart cast for the East Coast, Washington, D.C., is Gemini rising answering to the Mercury high. So that also does suggest that there's a lot of energy going on behind the scenes around, you know, because Pisces also rules refugees. So we have the refugee situation in Ukraine, but it also rules things going on behind the scenes that we're not really going to hear about. So that's good too. That's kind of like, you know, trust the process. We're at an ending. Pisces is the last sign of the zodiac. So it's got an opportunity for ending things and shifting things and kind of moving things in a new direction. So, All good. All good.
Yeah,
what
and the moon is in the last degree of Libra on its way into Scorpio. So
right.
I think that indicates a shift from Libra approach to things into Scorpio. And that's a little dangerous with Mars squaring Uranus.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. So we are going to see some stuff is going to blow up, you know.
Yeah.
The actual square of Mars to Uranus is Tuesday. So we want to be careful on all levels because Mars square Uranus, you know, the good thing is it can dislodge stuff like an avalanche and bring change. Mm-hmm. But the bad side is you can get buried in an avalanche.
Right. Kind of uncontrolled Earth, you know. And it's got, with all that Neptune, it, you know, if it's an earthquake energy, you know, it's, but there's not other indicators necessarily look for earthquake, but with all that water, that would definitely have a tsunami component to it. So, No, it's definitely, it's an interesting season or year or month. I'll go with any one of them. I think it depends on how it rolls out, if I like it enough, if I want to make it more than a month, but can't really do that. But, it, you know, it definitely speaks to this whole shift in awareness that people are really reporting. And because Uranus is about to, you know, he got as high as 13 last summer, and then he went retrograde. So he's just about to leave his, you know, his shadow, which often amplifies, you know, the change energy. It really kicks it up into a whole new direction. So it'll be interesting to see what it does then, because that was, you know, last summer when June, it feels like a lifetime ago, when it was June, we were, you know, working on figuring out, you know, what the changes we wanted in our lives were. And now it's kind of like, okay, time to put them in. You know, so there's a lot of energy around that new beginning energy. So, So, do you see any problems with the ingress? You know, or things you're a little concerned about?
Well, that Mars square Uranus, and you know, and Pluto is at 28 Capricorn, so everybody touches Pluto, and it's on the way out of their sign. So that's where we can, we'll see every possibility for Pluto, the good and the bad, having to do with power and intensity. It'll be the biggest expression for all of these energies.
Right.
So that, you know, that's just something to be wary of, and try not to. Try not to go with the total drama. Try to ratchet it back a little.
Right. Yeah, because Pluto in Capricorn does have a bit of a edge of the precipice thing, right? So.
Right, exactly. Right, so pull back a little from that edge.
Yeah, and Mars Uranus is an energy of, okay, we're going to fall off the cliff. We're going to take action, because Mars is in Aquarius, which is air, and it's squaring Uranus in Taurus, which is earth. And air and earth, they don't really get each other. You know, it's windstorms and stuff like that, but there's a detachment there where Mars is kind of like, and of course Mars in Aquarius is a real big CIA aspect. You know, the CIA recruits people with strong Aquarius Scorpio signatures. So, you know, so Mars in Aquarius is a little bit of an, you know, a little bit of an assassin, kind of detached, doesn't really think about things, so.
Right.
But takes action strategically, you know, so it's an interesting aspect to have in the midst of all this swirling lack of clarity with all the Pisces stuff, so.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. And then at the end,
there's a freelance assassin floating around.
Yeah, a freelance mercenary. I remember watching a movie with Brad Pitt called Allied with, I want to say it was Marion, drawing a blank on her name, but she was a spy and he was a spy. and they met in Casablanca, and then it was the story of them, you know, moving forward in a relationship, and then was she a spy or wasn't she? And there was a scene in that movie where they get made as spies in Morocco. So he goes and he, the guy gets up to make a phone call, and Brad gets up and follows, well, he's not Brad in the movie, but he's the spy. He gets up and follows him into the phone booth and chokes him and then sticks a roll in his neck, you know, in his mouth, like he choked on the roll. And I'm like, and then he goes back and sits at the table like nothing happened. And I'm like, that is totally Mars and Aquarius. That is totally Mars and Aquarius. You know?
And there you
like,
go.
Okay, I'll tell you now, and then I'll, and then we'll go. We'll have a little Chianti. You know, we'll be like, what's it, Hannibal Lecter? You know, with the with a little fava beans. My nice Chianti and some fava beans. So that energy makes me a little nervous, but. You know, I'm good. I'm good to watch it and have it show up in other ways. I'm good to have it be people getting together, Aquarian, working together in a community, taking action to get change made. I'm good to that version of it. So that'll be helpful. And what do you think about Mercury going into Aries at the end of the week?
Well, that'll be actually really useful because I think we'll have accomplished what we're going to get with Mercury and Pisces by then. So it'll be time for, it'll be new beginnings. Aries always is. And with it happening on the ingress chart, you know, Mercury's moving fast to do it.
Yeah. Over 2 degrees a day. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's top speed for Mercury.
Yeah, he's really flying along.
Yeah. So. He'll touch Jupiter and Neptune, and then hit Aries, and the Sun right after.
Yeah, and he trines the nodes this week as well as Pluto, or sextiles Pluto and trines the nodes, sextiles the nodes. So he's really carrying messages and information, you know, so... It was funny, my uncle died on St. Patrick's Day. Not unexpected, he'd been sick for a while. But my brother posted a picture of me as a baby with Uncle Neil. Uncle Neil was like 14, he was 10 years younger than my mother. So my mother had me at 24, so Neil was 14. So he's kind of like this teenage kid kind of hanging out with me laughing. You know, we're both laughing together. So, yeah. So it was kind of, I'd never seen that picture before. So I was like, oh, thank you, Mercury. A memory from the past. Oh, yeah. And I just, he just posted it. And I'm like, oh. And then a picture of Neil, who, you know, is only 14, so he hasn't had his growth spurt. So he looks really short next to my dad, who is 6'4". And he ultimately was taller than my mom. And in the picture, he's shorter than my mom. So I know he hasn't had his growth spurt yet. But, you know, it was nice. It was... It was me laughing and him laughing and having a grand old time, you know. So, as me, I would have been one, you know. I'm a babe. I'm not even, you can clear, I'm not even walking yet. So, that's such a nice picture.
That's nice.
I'd never seen it before. You know, it's, what am I, 67, and I've never seen that photograph. So, it was kind of cool. So, you want to take some calls?
Okay,
let me put them up. And pull up the solar flare.
Just a second.
All right. Okay. Right. Hi, 267-673. You're on the air. How can we help?
Hey there.
Can you hear us?
Hi. Yes. Can you hear me? Hi.
Yeah, we're good.
I'll give you my birthday. So my birthday is March 31st, 1990.
Yep. 1990.
Yep. Uh-huh. Time is 6:30 p.m.
What time is that again?
6:30 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in Birmingham, Alabama.
Birmingham, okay. And what is your question?
Hi. So the other day I was tracking some transits between me and some of them I'm no longer in contact with. And I noticed this kind of like it's called like a mystic triangle of sorts. I believe that's what that's called. I'm not sure. I just know I saw it. And I'm just trying to see, can I expect some kind of like a reconciliation coming up in the next couple of weeks or so? Because it just kind of, it's been really heavy on my mind lately. So I just wanted to check in to see if that's something, because I just, you know, I just picked up on that in the transit, in our synergy charts, and I was just like, I should ask somebody.
Well, you are having Saturn on your Venus right now, right? So your Venus is 24 Aquarius. So Saturn on the Mars and the Venus. And natally, you know, you have some astrologers wouldn't give it to you because they don't use the nodes, but others would. But yeah, you know, you do have to do everything twice with your moon in Gemini.
Right.
So have you broken up with them twice? Or are you still on the first breakup?
I mean, we aren't like dating or anything. It's just someone that I'm, you know, consider kind of like a sibling. Like we had a very close relationship, but it wasn't like a, you know, a real relationship. But they're very important to me. And I, you know, we haven't spoken in a year. So I'm just trying to see if that's, if it helps. He's also like an Aquarius as well. So that's kind of why I felt like with all these Aquarius transits, it just kind of felt like maybe it's in the cards. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, two things, moon in Gemini, sibling relationship, right? Then the second thing is, you know, you're having Uranus in the sky right now is 12 Taurus squaring your nodes and squaring that Mars and the Venus. We're going to come to square the Venus. But so you're having a real activation. Plus today, literally as we're talking, transiting Venus is on the North Node. So I think, you know, with Pluto on your, you know, Pluto is on your Saturn last September, stationed on it. And so whatever the structural issues were, those still have to be resolved. It doesn't look like that's been quite finished yet. Yeah.
No,
so,
because
you know,
literally Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go.
Go ahead.
Yeah,
I didn't mean to interrupt. Oh, okay. Well, I mean, that basically kicked me out of my last home. I'm in a new place, and literally maybe a couple of days ago, I got a notice saying the rent's going to be going up. So they gave me an offer to switch units, if that'll help. So that's coming up in the next month or so. So I don't know if that's part of it or what, but I'm definitely not stable in this current place.
Yeah, that would definitely count. Yeah. And so, you know, with your North Node in Aquarius. Now, one of the features of Aquarian, you know, your North Node, your Mars, and your Venus is they have what I jokingly refer to as the Aquarian death stare, where when they're done, they're done. And, of course, last spring when you broke up, the progressed moon was going over your nodes. So that kind of says to me a karma story, you know, because the progressed moon right now is 26 Leo and your node is 14. So that says 12 months ago that moon dived into that south node. And natally, your moon is in Gemini and it was getting kind of hammered by Pluto last year. So it's important to understand what the power dynamics were. And right now, your Venus is very melancholy because she's in last degrees of Pisces. So, yeah. So I'm like, you know, would you want to reach out or not? Or are you waiting for them to reach
out? That's where I'm at. That's where I'm at because all the times we reconnected in the past, I was the one to make the effort to reach out. So I just kind of made up my mind that I wasn't going to reach out this time because I've already tried about three times. But there's that yearning, of course, and I'm just like, well, as much as I want to, I feel like it should be on him to do it. This is meant to last or meant to be a connection that lasts or something like that, you know.
Mark, what do you think?
I get the power.
Yeah. You have that tendency toward the sibling relationship, and you're really making the decisions you want to keep that lively and resume it or find it with someone else? Or do you want to explore a little more, not so much sibling, but more companion energy. So more like siblings are just practicing, you know.
You're
at a point where you decide if you want to do another practice run with the same one or a different one. Or do you want to step it up a half a notch?
Right. I mean, it's quite an interesting connection, I will say. It has been confirmed to me in the past that this is like a karmic I'm dealing with. So I'm just kind of like, well, I don't really know what to do with him. If he's supposed to stay in the past, shouldn't he just stay in the past? Or are we meant to build something new in this lifetime? That's the question I've been trying to figure out, and why I still have this yearning going on where I thought I was just going to move on.
Yeah,
it's not really, really ready to move on yet. I mean,
I feel good hearing that from you.
Yeah.
I feel really good because I've got everyone else telling me to move on, but I'm still here. My heart doesn't want to.
Right. Well, that's the karma.
And then sometimes that's important. You mean you have a couple of fingers of God in your chart with the marriage Juno, the marriage planet. Your Saturn and your moon form a finger, and then Juno forms a finger to the Mercury and the moon. And your Mercury is in Aries, and it's squared by Saturn. So communication is always going to be something that's really important for you to work out and figure out, right? That's one of the hardest jobs for you, right? Because Mercury in Aries is a sharp mouth. And when you split up, Mercury was retrograde and Uranus is on it. So there's a whole energy about, you know, what's that saying where, you know, relationships can be ruined with a couple of words, you know, a lifetime. And your chart did always reach out because you're the Libra rising, right? And Mercury, they have Mars on the North Node. Well, if you really wanted to, blah, blah. See, what I like to do on this kind of stuff is I light a candle and I ask my guides to go talk to their guides and some guidance. Yeah. Anything coming in?
So funny enough, I'm kind of sad Heather isn't here, but I picked up her Oracle deck the other day. And I pulled a couple of cards when I asked if I can expect some communication or some help from his guides. And I pulled the Aquarius card. I pulled the Eighth House card. I pulled the Juno card. You know, just all these things that are kind of, you know, basically what you just said, how we have to collaborate on our communication because it's not just me that's pretty bad at it. He's pretty bad at it, too, with his Mars and Cancer. He will just kind of sidestep all the time. So I have been talking to my guides. I've been meditating. I've been just kind of, you know, doing what I can to reach out spiritually because I don't really know what else to do at this point.
Mark? Yeah.
It might help to set a deadline. In other words, you're open, you're allowing that something could change. But, you know, pick a date and say, or an event, maybe is better than a date, but by the time something happens, then you know whether this is going to go into a new phase or not.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll pick a date then. I kind of figured if anything didn't happen after the 6th, when whatever retrograde left the shadow, that was going to be it. But it's still been so heavy, so I figure I'll just keep talking to my guide.
Yeah. Well, the Uranus is also going to square your nodes. So right now it's squaring your progress node, but it gets to your natal node in a couple of days when it gets to 1447. And so I would watch that. And also right now we're talking to you and we're having Mars Uranus in the sky and you have a Mars Uranus aspect. So we're having a really big natal excitation right now. So I would be like, okay, what's that look like? Yeah. So But yeah, you're not done yet, so I wouldn't give yourself a hard time about it. At least another 3.5 months, because the moon has to go past Aries, the progressed moon, and change into Virgo. And at that point, you know, I would say when that progressed moon changes, which is about 4 months from now, 3.5 months, your chart will be like, all right, what are you doing? You know, so. But yeah, it's important when you have these lasting. Yeah, when you have these lasting things, it's really important to allow them to express themselves, you know, because in any case, on some level, it's not quite finished yet because there's this stuff in the house, there's this residual feeling, there's the moment. And also, if you think of them and you're randomly thinking of them, you know, just say, hey, well, why don't you give me a call this time? You know, like
I say that all the time.
You know. Right.
Well, I really, really appreciate the feedback. It has put my mind at ease. You guys are wonderful as always. But you guys have a good evening. I'm pretty sure we're over time now.
Okay.
We're right at the end. Heather always makes us hang up right away. So.
I'm going to play Heather now when Heather's gone.
Right.
I'm glad her Oracle cards help. Heather's our timekeeper.
All right.
Okay,
well, guys. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Okay.
Thanks for calling in.
Will do. Okay.
Bye-bye. All right. And this is Anne signing off from the turquoise blue or Tiffany blue. I was told it was Tiffany blue.
Oh,
yeah.
That's nice.
In Florida. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you?
Yeah. And Mark Wolf signing off from New York City.
Mm-hmm. And off we go. So wishing you guys all a good week. Be careful out there. Take care.
Yeah.
Okay. Bye.
Bye now.